And welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm John Wells here with Lynn Ware Peake. We're just speaking with 500 women scientist members, Dr. Katie Haas and Dr. Emma Loveland. Our next guest, Dr. William Lee, is a world-renowned physician, scientist, speaker, and author of the book, Eat to Beat Disease, The New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself. Dr. Lee is best known for leading the Angiogenesis Foundation. His groundbreaking work has impacted more than 70 diseases, including cancer, diabetes, blindness, heart disease, and obesity. His TED Talk, Can We Eat to Starve Cancer?, has garnered more than 11 million views. He says we have radically underestimated our body's power to transform and restore our health. In his new book, he shows readers his evidence behind the over 200 health-boosting foods that can starve cancer, reduce your risk of dementia, and beat dozens of avoidable diseases. Dr. William Lee, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Well, thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be on with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. Lynn and I both really enjoyed the book, and we're still going through it. For the past 25 years, you've led the Angiogenesis Foundation, a nonprofit organization that you founded in 1994, with one singular mission: to improve global health by focusing on this common denominator shared by many diseases, angiogenesis, the process of our bodies to use and grow new blood vessels. I have to be honest, I didn't know what angiogenesis was until I read this book, and I suspect that many of our listeners don't as well. Can you take us through that a little bit?
Right. Well, angiogenesis, as you said, is how our bodies grow blood vessels. Our blood vessels are our circulation, and an incredible mechanism to help us bring oxygen and nutrients to every cell in the body. And, you know, people who haven't heard about angiogenesis are always amazed when I tell them that there are so many blood vessels in our body that if you were to pull them all out and line them up end to end, it would form a line that would encircle the Earth twice. You could do two Earths orbit with the number of blood vessels in a single adult, all packed under our skin. So what is it that that actual blood system, blood supply system does besides feed healthy organs? Well, it has to be maintained perfectly because it is actually one of our body's defense systems. And what I got really interested in 25 years ago was how do we think about our health, not from the perspective of just a single disease or a single mechanism within a disease, but what actually are the principles that unite diseases or unite health? And when it came to health, that's when I started to realize that to prevent diseases, we could actually try to support health. To support health, we really can't use medicines or drugs, which is what I was trained as a medical doctor, internal medicine doctor, to prescribe. We had to think about a different tool, and that tool being food. So I wrote my book, Eat to Beat Disease, really to try to explore the evidence of how our body resists disease naturally, and then how does food activate those natural defense systems, of which angiogenesis, blood vessels, is one of them.
And I would add to that that you're not one of the doctors who rejects Western biomedicine and suggests that food is the only solution. I mean, you are talking about the importance of food and the five defense systems, but you're also a trained doctor that is very much involved in traditional Western medical practices.
That's right. In fact, I've spent my career helping to develop some of the state-of-the-art treatments, and as a doctor, I've seen firsthand how important these breakthrough treatments can be. So for me, though, it's not about either or, one or the other. It's not about going on the mountaintop and shouting out food is a cure. It's what I view is that their food is an important tool in our toolbox that can sit alongside medicine. And how many of us have actually gone to the doctor with a question about food and kind of gotten a blank stare because doctors are not educated, are not really educated about nutrition? I felt that was wrong, and I felt like it was necessary to really take the steps to organize all the science and evidence behind the modern way that a physician should think about nutrition. And that's really what I write about in the book: is what's the state of the art thinking here, and how do we clear up all the confusion that's out there about food and health?
So, Dr. Lee, your book is broken into talking about our body's natural defense systems in five different parts. And then there are a couple of other sections that talk more specifically about foods. But if we could go through and talk about each one of the five defense systems and how those relate to food. You talk about anti-angiogenesis therapy. Mm-hmm. You say that, you know, cancers, microscopic cancers are all over our bodies, really. It's once they get the blood supply that really turns them into full-blown cancers and that can metastasize. How does food also act as an anti-angiogenesis therapy?
Well, so one of the things that our body does really well is make sure it has the right circulation in the right place at the right time. And that's what keeps us healthy. Our circulation protects our health. But cancers are really tricky. They are caused by mutations in our DNA, and they actually sit there. Then they cannot grow any larger than the head of a ballpoint pen, the tip of the ballpoint pen. It's about 2 or 3 millimeters in diameter because they don't have a blood supply. They can't disexpand. However, over time, cancers can actually trick our body and figure out how to hijack angiogenesis and grow blood vessels selfishly to feed themselves. And in fact, targeting blood vessels to cut off the blood supply to cancers is one of the major biotech breakthroughs over the last 20 years. But foods can actually do something very similar. And what I write about in my book actually might be surprising to some people, because one of the best anti-angiogenic cancer-starving foods, right-sizing the blood supply, is soy. Now, soy has developed a scary reputation. Some people believe that, you know, women should avoid soy because it has an estrogen-like compound that could cause breast cancer. We know that human estrogen can actually fuel breast cancer, some breast cancers, but it turns out that plant estrogens are nothing like human estrogens and can, in fact, counter their effects. So in my book, I write about a large study of 5,000 women who actually have breast cancer, and the study showed that those women who ate more soy, even though they had breast cancer, had an almost 30% lower risk of mortality. And when their cancer was successfully treated, the ones who ate more soy had a 32% reduction of having their breast cancer come back. So in this most vulnerable population, you find the cancers actually are, in fact, suppressed. So how much soy do you need? Well, it turned out that in these studies, about 10 grams of soy protein per day. That's about the amount you get in a cup of soy milk. And we even know the chemical inside the soybean, which is called genistein, that is actually anti-androgenic, the cancer-starving molecule. So that's just an example within angiogenesis. There's many other foods that can do something similar.
Okay, great. That's a good starting point. So our second body's natural defense system would be regeneration. This is when we're talking about stem cells and things like that. Our small intestine regenerates every 2 to 4 days. I had no idea. So how does that relate to food, our body's regeneration of stem cells?
Right. So when we were all kids, we were taught that salamanders can regenerate and starfish can regenerate, but people don't regenerate. Science has now really turned that idea around, because we know that people do regenerate, although slowly, from the inside out through our own stem cells. Our stem cells are found in our bone marrow and probably in a lot of other tissues as well. And the amazing thing about stem cells is that they are sort of early primordial cells that can actually turn into almost any organ that they need to turn into once they get there. And they can grow that tissue. They can help restore and repair that tissue as well. And so we know that, hair regenerates, skin regenerates, our gut regenerates, our liver regenerates, our lungs regenerate. And in fact, one of the major areas of biotechnology is to find ways to actually harvest these stem cells and inject them into different places that need them. But I think that there's a even more powerful way, a more immediate way of thinking about using our own stem cells, and that's by eating food. So in my book, I actually write about foods that can actually stimulate our own stem cells, and it turns out that dark chocolate is one of those foods. So dark chocolate's made with cacao, from the cacao bean, and dark chocolate's usually 70% or higher levels. So it's, you know, the kind of the slightly bitterness of the dark chocolate, the lovely dark chocolate, is caused by these polyphenols that are natural bioactives that are found in cacao beans. And studies have shown that those polyphenols can draw out our stem cells from our circulation and help us, you know, prompt that regenerative response. So in my book, I write about a study of men with coronary disease, and they were given hot cocoa to drink. The hot cocoa was made with super dark chocolate, with a lot of polyphenols, and they just drank this, they just swigged this down twice a day for 30 days. And comparing the number of stem cells in the bloodstream from the beginning to the end, this research actually showed that that just drinking the hot cocoa, that's the only thing that was done to these individuals in this study, could double the number of stem cells in the circulation and improve the blood flow in these individuals by 2 times. Really, really quite amazing. And there's other foods that can actually also stimulate our stem cells. Not all stem cells are actually beneficial. It turns out that there are some stem cells that are not really good for us, and that's found in cancer. Cancer stem cells are the reasons that cancers come back after we've, you know, we think we've wiped them out. And it turns out, and I read about this in a book, there are some foods like purple potatoes that actually can target and kill cancer stem cells in a lab as well.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Dr. William Lee. He's a renowned physician, scientist, speaker, and he's just written Eat to Beat Disease, The New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself. The book has a lot of really good things in it. I just want to mention to our listeners, it's broken down into 3 pieces. The first part is about these health defense systems. The second part is the information about the actual foods and what they'll be able to do for you. And the third part is a way to incorporate what you call 5x5x5, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes, which is how to put all of this together into an eating plan. So it's not only a book to read, but it's also something that you'd like to have as good reference material. Dr. Lee, I am not proud of this, but I used to smoke cigarettes. I don't anymore. When I was a younger man, I did. And in your book, you talk about green tea, and people who smoke have 60% fewer stem cells in their bloodstream compared to non-smokers. Yet a study where people drank 4 cups of green tea a day for a period of time had pretty dramatic results in building the stem cells back up. Can you talk about that study?
So this is a study that was really amazing out of Korea, and where they looked at smokers and found that and these are young men smokers, and they had, and the smoking actually reduced their levels of stem cells. So we know a lot of things can help that can actually impair our stem cells. Smoking is one of them. Diabetes is another one. High blood cholesterol is another one of them. Actually, physical inactivity is another one of them as well, giving, you know, some logic to why we should be exercising regularly. But, you know, smoking is a lifestyle choice. And so in this group of young men in their late 20s who had smoked for 6 years or so, these researchers in Korea, at Chonam National University in Korea, actually gave them 4 cups of green tea to drink every day for 2 weeks. So that's not a lot of tea per day, but over the course of a couple of weeks, that's like 56 cups of tea. And they measured their blood from the beginning at the very end, and they found that actually drinking the green tea actually helped to prompt more stem cells, healthy stem cells in their bloodstream, to go up by 43% after drinking the green tea. So, you know, to me, it becomes kind of a no-brainer that green tea is powerful in terms of helping to support our blood vessels. Those stem cells, by the way, help to rebuild our blood vessels, which are exactly damaged by smoking.
Yeah, you also talk about the microbiome and how it can be out of balance. There's a lot of information out there, and we hear about it just about every day. And of course, companies are rushing to the market with all sorts of microbiome probiotics and things like that. Can you talk about it a little bit? Because there is some misinformation out there, isn't there?
Right. Well, the microbiome is our body's own healthy bacteria, and it's really a new frontier. It's almost an undiscovered country. Because we now know that we're actually composed of, there's like 39 trillion bacteria in our body, probably about the same number of human cells. And so there's a term I write about in my book called holobiont, H-O-L-O-B-I-O-N-T, that actually describes an organism that's made up of different communities of different types of cells. And so we're not even human anymore. We're actually holobionts living along with our own bacteria. So we now know that these bacteria communicate with our cells and actually help to control our health functions. They protect us if the neighborhood, the ecosystem of the bacteria is healthy. And we are just starting to get, you know, just looking at the tip of the iceberg of our understanding. And so that's why I think, as you rightfully point out, people that are rushing to actually bring out a microbiome this or microbiome that, you know, we don't have a lot of definitive answers yet. We're still figuring it out. However, what I write about is how food influences our microbiome, because what we eat to feed our own human cells also feeds our bacterial cells. So one of the things that I talk about is you can actually give a prebiotic, which are like dietary fibers that actually help to support those healthy gut bacteria. They need to be fed too. And they usually, the bacteria will then convert those fibers into, they break them down into byproducts that actually help decrease inflammation and help boost our immunity. Or you can actually eat bacteria themselves. And this is a little bit less well understood. You know, like, does the bacteria we eat, do they stick around in our gut? Do we pass them out? Do they change the neighborhood in any way? We think they do. But we don't know if that's going to happen in all cases. But we do know that eating foods with bacteria like kimchi or sauerkraut or cheese can be actually helpful for our microbiome. And of course, then we want to sort of avoid eating foods that can damage our microbiome. And, you know, synthetic sugars, artificial sweeteners, our body doesn't absorb them, but they actually hammer our microbiome and can change those as well. We know that eating a lot of processed food and meat can actually also alter our microbiome. So our microbiome actually helps us make sense of some of the things that we know are good for us and the things that we know also are probably not so good for us. But I point out some surprises because, for example, there's a big anti-carb movement out there right now, and many of your listeners probably are aware of this, if not following it. But in my book, I write about two breads that actually have some benefit. One of them is pumpernickel bread, you know, that dark bread, dark brown bread, and it's made with rye flour. And rye flour contains bioactives that lower unhealthy bacteria in our gut that produce toxins that cause inflammation in our body. So eating pumpernickel can lower some of that inflammation by lowering the bacteria. Sourdough bread actually is made with healthy bacteria that's found in the gut. The bacteria you use to make sourdough, it's called Lactobacillus reuteri. It's what gives it the tangy taste of sourdough that people love. And it turns out that bacteria, which you would eat with sourdough, actually boosts our immune system, helps us heal wounds, and even triggers our brain to release oxytocin, which is the social hormone that makes us feel good when we get a hug from someone we love. So an amazing thing that was discovered is that even if you bake the bread and kill the bacteria, the remnants of that bacteria are enough to actually have their beneficial effects.
Let's move to the body's natural defense system. The next one would be DNA protection. Now, there's a lot we can do to damage our DNA, like smoking, like breathing toxic chemicals, and then we can help repair it by getting a good night's sleep. But what can we do in our diet to repair our DNA?
Right. So, you know, most people think that, you know, you're born with the DNA that you inherit from your parents. And if you're lucky, you know, have great genetics. And many people also have inherited genes that actually might put them at risk for certain diseases. And this is why there's DNA testing kits out there that you swab your saliva and send it all in and products that are like that. But, you know, DNA itself is very active. It can actually decrease its own function, or it could increase its function, but it gets damaged very easily. So one of the things that I tell people is that if you go to the beach and you go get a tan, that's ultraviolet light coming down, which some of which is good for you for vitamin D. If you're out there exposed long enough, DNA damage in your skin. If you actually breathe secondhand, forget about smoking. If you actually breathe secondhand smoke, that causes DNA damage as well. And then, you know, most people don't realize this, but if you're pumping gas or filling up your gas tank in a filling station and you can smell those fumes those petrol films are causing DNA damage. So the good news is our DNA really knows how to protect itself. So foods can actually help our DNA protect itself. And I talk in my book about a really interesting study involving kiwi, right? So this is a surprise. Most people don't think about kiwi as anything more than these little brown furry fruits that you cut open and they're sweet and green inside with seeds. But there was a study that was done looking at the impact of kiwi in repairing DNA damage. And they gave healthy volunteers either one kiwi or three kiwis a day. And they drew their blood at the very beginning, and then they drew the blood over time. And they found that if you ate one kiwi, you could actually reduce your damage to your DNA by 60%. Wow. And if you ate three kiwis, you would actually be able to help your DNA repair, fix itself. So you could take the damaged stuff and fix it. So eating a kiwi a day actually got, besides being delicious and giving you some of these vitamins, actually has DNA repairing properties all by itself.
Dr. Lee, unfortunately, we are out of time. We want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. You've written Eat to Beat Disease, the New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.